exemple, dans les... Voilà, je peux juste souligner ça pour tout le monde. Cette réunion sera enregistrée. This meeting is going to be recorded. It is our way now of sharing with others that can't get to the meeting what happened. Nous sommes maintenant à l'item où on va entendre des mots de nos représentants élus. J'ai établi un ordre pour ça. On va commencer avec Madame Fortier, on va continuer avec Madame Collard et enfin Mathieu Fleury va dire quelques mots. Je leur ai proposé, I suggested to them 10 minutes. I'm not planning a question period, but people who have questions for our elected representatives are more than welcome to put them into the chat. And what I'd suggest is if we have any time to deal with any of those questions, we'll of course try to do it tonight. But otherwise, the staff people to our elected representatives, because they will be in the chat, will be able to see them and get back to people if they have answers that they were not able to give tonight. Alors, si tout le monde est d'accord, on va commencer avec notre membre député dans le Parlement du Canada, la ministre, Madame Mona Fortier. Madame Fortier, c'est à vous pour les premières 10 minutes.
Ben, bonjour tout le monde. Hello everyone. Can you hear me well?
Very well.
Excellent. Merci beaucoup de m'avoir invité aujourd'hui à la rencontre générale annuelle de l'association. Et vraiment un grand merci, Norman, d'avoir organisé cette réunion, mais encore plus un grand merci pour toute ta contribution comme président. Tu as été vraiment un président qui a beaucoup donné. Alors, j'espère qu'on va pouvoir célébrer et reconnaître tout ton travail. Alors, je voulais commencer par te remercier sincèrement. Et pour poursuivre, je voudrais quand même prendre un moment pour souligner que nous sommes réunis, en tout cas moi, dans ma salle à dîner, sur le territoire traditionnel et non cédé de la nation des peuples algonquins et anishinaabeg. Et je vais parler en français et en anglais, donc j'espère que les gens vont être à l'aise avec cela. Alors, je veux encore une fois vous remercier pour votre soutien, votre confiance. C'est un grand honneur pour moi de pouvoir continuer de vous servir en tant que députée pour un troisième mandat. Et je sais qu'en travaillant en collaboration avec des associations et des résidents comme vous, que nous allons pouvoir continuer de travailler et livrer d'importants projets et initiatives dans la Basse-Ville, évidemment, mais dans Ottawa-Vallée. Alors, un grand merci. Et vous allez certainement avoir la chance de discuter d'enjeux importants ce soir. Et je vous remercie de partager, évidemment, vos questions, vos priorités. Malheureusement, Norman, je dois quitter à 7h30 ce soir parce que je m'occupe de ma fille. Je dois l'amener au soccer et je n'ai pas pu trouver quelqu'un d'autre pour le faire. Alors, je veux que vous sachiez que je vais répondre à vos questions à un autre moment donné. Parce que je vais communiquer avec toi, Norman, après cette AGA, même si tu termines ta présidence, pour connaître les priorités et rencontrer la nouvelle présidence en même temps. Alors, je vous partage certaines informations du côté fédéral qui demeurent assez importantes. Comme vous savez, nous avons annoncé la semaine dernière que nous allons rendre obligatoire la vaccination pour tous les fonctionnaires fédéraux et ça a été annoncé la semaine dernière. Nous travaillons aussi sur le passeport vaccinal, autant ici en Ontario pour avoir accès à des services essentiels et pour les grands événements que pour voyager à l'international. Donc, pour qu'on puisse avoir un certain retour à la normalité, depuis des mois, notre gouvernement travaille en étroite collaboration avec nos alliés internationaux pour le développement d'un passeport vaccinal connu à l'étranger ainsi qu'avec l'OMS pour faire reconnaître toutes les doses de vaccins dans des pays comme les États-Unis. Et comme vous savez, grâce à ces efforts, le Canada obligera également la vaccination pour tout transport aérien et par train, ainsi, comme j'ai dit plus tôt, pour le service public. Alors, durant le mois de novembre, il y aura une brève période durant laquelle un test négatif sera valide, mais d'ici la fin du mois prochain, tous les voyageurs devraient avoir reçu leurs deux doses pour pouvoir voyager en avion ou en train. Now, another topic that comes up frequently when I meet with citizens of Lower Town is the safe supply and what is being done to combat substance abuse in Ottawa. The pandemic, as you know, has accentuated and highlighted many of the issues that many citizens face, from access to housing, to domestic violence and abuse, to job loss, to mental health issues. And during these difficult months, we have unfortunately also seen an increase in overdoses. Opioid use and other dangerous drugs amongst our most vulnerable. And we have long known that dealing with addictions requires addressing the situation as a public health issue, not a safety issue or a criminal act. And that's why our government, with the Ontario government and the City of Ottawa, and also local organizations as partners, are working to provide a way out for those living with addiction through safe drug supply programs. Now, the Safe Supply Initiative, which we funded in this year in 2021 with over $4.4 million after a previous federal contribution of $1.4 million, is a concrete example of how progressive decisions are helping us address important issues here in Ottawa Vanier. And I also know that many of you would like to hear an update about the Alexander Bridge. And I wanted you to know that the National Capital Commission will be conducting a public consultation in the coming weeks. And as soon as I get the date and the information is released, I will share that with the association members. And also it will be posted, of course, on the National Capital Commission. Therefore, we will be able to hear from the community. Finally, another important issue is the question of affordable housing. Now, our government recognizes that access to a house, an apartment, or even an affordable housing unit has been complicated by the pandemic, and that the cost of ownership has been rising for several months now and years. For many families, buying their first home remains a difficult goal, and therefore our government committed during last month's election campaign to continue to work with provinces and municipalities on housing, expand federal programs created since 2015, such as the first-time homebuyer incentive and grants for energy efficient and green home renovations, and build and renovate 1.4 million new affordable homes to increase supply and meet demand across the country. So in short, we know we have our hands full in assiette très pleine, and Parliament will be returning on November 22nd. And that is where I'll be starting on November 22nd to work on these different issues that we have raised during the last campaign. And I hope that I hear your views tonight on issues that the Lower Town Association has, and I will take those into consideration, of course, when I work on the Hill and for you during the next mandate. So again, thank you very much, Norman, for your leadership. Everybody that has been working, of course, you're working very hard, and I'm glad that we will get to continue to work together. Alors, merci beaucoup, tout le monde.
Merci, Mona. Je vais passer à notre prochain représentant parce qu'on avait seulement alloué une demi-heure pour cette portion-là. Mais comme j'ai dit, les questions qui sont dans le chat, any of the questions that have come in the chat are going to be noticed, and I'm sure that our representatives' offices will organize a follow-up, or if they don't, we'll find another chance to get in touch and talk about them. The only thing I would say to Minister Fortier is that we hope when there is a new consultation on the Alexander Bridge that all options are open. It's important that we have a real discussion. Thank you very much. Merci. J'aimerais maintenant demander à Madame Collard, qui nous représente dans le Parlement à Toronto, de nous parler un peu du perspective de Toronto et les priorités de ce gouvernement que nous avons là qui affectent notre communauté. Madame Collard.
Merci beaucoup, Norman, and thank you for the invitation. It's always great to connect with Community Association. You play such an important role, and I'm really glad to be able to hear from you as well. I'm not just here to communicate information, but hopefully to hear from you as well. Donc, félicitations aussi. Je joins ma voix à celle de Mona pour te féliciter, Norman, pour le travail que tu as fait en tant que président. Moi, j'ai pas connu d'autres présidents de cette association-là. Donc, j'avais comme l'impression que tu étais là depuis toujours et que tu allais toujours être là. Mais je suis certaine que la personne qui va prendre la relève va être tout aussi dévouée comme toi, tu l'as été. So, speaking about Toronto, that's where I'm joining you from. Actually, we've been back at Queen's Park for a week now, and we'll be here for the next 3 weeks. So, the government has announced through its strong speech some of the priorities all focused on long-term care and really trying to get out of the pandemic. We are supportive of that. Like, I think all members of parliament are supportive, except we were hoping to see more of the priorities, you know, for the coming year, getting out of the pandemic. I think we need to really support the economic recovery. And to do that, we need to address a various area of issues such as you know, support for family through childcare, support with childcare at $10 a day. That's what we've been asking for, you know, for paid sick days as well. That is very important for people that are working that need to be able to stay home if they're sick and not go to work, as well as, you know, the environment is still a preoccupation. And, you know, we'd like to hear more from the government on that. Donc, vraiment, peut-être le plus gros changement, là, dernièrement, dont on a entendu du gouvernement, ça va être le nouveau, puis Mona y a référé un petit peu, mais il va avoir un certificat vaccinal avec un code QR qu'il va falloir avoir. Et ce code QR-là peut être téléchargé à partir du site gouvernemental. Par contre, on sait que ce n'est pas tous les gens qui ont des téléphones intelligents ou qui sont à l'aise avec la technologie. Donc, ce code QR-là va pouvoir également vous être acheminé par la poste. So, if you have issues with that or you need assistance, feel free to contact my office. You know, we have a bunch of young people working, and the benefit is that they're more comfortable with technology that, you know, you might be and even that I am anyway. Donc, je pense, comme je l'ai dit, les associations jouent un rôle important. Vous êtes un vecteur pour communiquer l'information aux résidents et recevoir l'information des résidents, ce qui nous aide, nous, en tant qu'élus, à mieux faire notre job. Donc, moi, présentement, ma job, c'est d'essayer de mettre de la pression sur le gouvernement pour qu'il fasse des investissements plus importants dans les domaines où on en a besoin. Et ça m'aide beaucoup toujours d'entendre les histoires des gens puis de savoir l'expérience qu'ils sont en train de vivre. Alors, je ne vais pas aller plus loin que ça. Je vais plus donner place aux questions si vous en avez des spécifiques. Puis, again, you know, looking forward to meeting you people in person, hopefully soon. Thank you.
Merci, Lucille. C'est intéressant de voir la perspective de Toronto. Moi-même, j'ai téléchargé mon QR aujourd'hui. I downloaded my QR. I can assure you that my telephone is a lot more intelligent than I am, but I managed to wade through it, and I'm looking forward to using it. It's a very good idea. So thanks for pushing for that kind of necessary policy. I noticed that there are some comments coming in on the chat. I'm sure that people in your office will be following them, and we will, as I said, get back to you. Je vais maintenant tourner à Mathieu Fleury, notre conseiller et troisième représentant élu, et demander à Mathieu de nous donner un peu une perspective plus large qu'il a la chance de faire chaque mois. Take us into some of the larger issues, again, Mathieu, and how you see them evolving from the point of view of Lower Town.
Merci, merci Normand. Troisième et non le dernier. Vous m'entendez bien?
Tout à fait, tout à fait.
Je dois débuter par te remercier, Normand. Je sais que c'est ton dernier AGA comme président. J'aimerais te remercier. Ça a été plusieurs années de bénévolat acharné. Tu as fait une différence réelle, tu as aidé la communauté à tellement de niveaux que ce serait injuste pour moi de souligner, mais certainement, tu as reconnu quand je faisais des bons gestes, tu as aussi, quand moi ou la ville étions derrière des enjeux, puis tu voulais avoir de la clarté ou on était dans la mauvaise direction, tu as toujours été honnête et clair, puis ce fut un plaisir travailler avec toi ces dernières années. Comme vous le savez, tout le monde, ce sont des bénévoles qui siègent sur votre CA, donc on est très choyés. Normand, encore une fois, merci pour ton acharnement, puis merci à ta famille aussi qui t'a donné l'espace et le temps pour pouvoir le faire, parce que je sais que c'est aussi un rôle et une responsabilité familiale. Norman, or Liz, I don't know who has the screen, but I know Bailey, we've prepared a short slide deck that I think with the visual might be helpful for this evening. So I don't know if you're able to allow Bailey Johnson to share screen.
I just did. Bailey, let me know if you're having any problems.
I believe I'm all good if everyone can see my screen.
Yeah. Great. We see your screen, Bailey. It's just not full screen. So I'll get started because I want to be cognizant of everyone's time. If you're able to maneuver to make the slide deck full screen. I want to take a deep dive because an AGM is what happened over the last year. And I take a look at where we were last year this time. And I say, wow, how have we come to, you know, all of the elements in terms of building some resiliency when restaurants were there to provide food. When I saw the Ottawa Mission provide the food truck, I think of all of the COVID testing, specifically Bruyère, who's been a real gem in our community, the Bruyère Care. And then the vaccine rollout throughout the year. The uptake in Lower Town and Byward Market has been good, but it's not as high as other communities. So we remain with targeted initiatives. We had a number of pop-up clinics at the Rideau Center. We had a number of pop-up clinics in Lower Town at Jules Morin Park. And we'll continue to have those to see a continued vaccine increase in uptake. Maybe the last one, I know that if you have young ones, you're interested, we're hearing a positive feeling that we are going to see by the end of the year some opportunities to vaccinate those who are between the ages of 5 and 12. So we'll certainly keep you apprised of when that becomes available. And we want to thank you for your engagement. The LCA has been very helpful to highlight some of the data that OPH was providing. Early on, public health was separating Byward and Lower Town, for example, all these things and access for the community. Ultimately, a year later, we're in a better position. We're not out of it yet, but we do see continued engagement. I want to make a really special mention to the community, but further also we take for granted a lot of the services when you think of Bruyère Care, for example, and they've really stepped up through the pandemic. Bailey, I see you're struggling. Are you able to go to the next slide? I'm still not seeing it full screen. So I don't know, maybe a F5 on your computer, or it might be a little glitch on the...
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not, my option to present mode
it's not working. Showing up, on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Can everyone still see this?
Well, like that. We can see it well like that, Matt.
Yeah, we'll continue. Yeah. I really want to thank the community as well. The Rideau Street completion, so this is the stretch between Sussex and Dalhousie, took years. We lived the beginning of the LRT, we lived the sinkhole, we live the expansion of the Rideau Center, and here we are in late 2021 with now the majority of the stretch completed. It's the widest sidewalks on a main street. We have 14 trees. There are benches and waste receptacle and new lighting. There are incomplete bike lanes with future options along the Confed Boulevard and south to connect to Laurier. So we are quite aware, but we didn't want to miss the opportunity to instill some access in and out of the Byward Market, in and out of Rideau Street within the area. So I hope you enjoy it. I want to say that for me, one of the biggest challenges, the attention to an area like Rideau and the Byward Market, needs dedicated city staff on the ground to clean. And it's really, there's a lot of tâches. Il y a beaucoup de tâches sur les trottoirs. Puis pour moi, qui est un résident et votre élu fier de notre ville, il y a beaucoup d'améliorations à apporter pour l'entretien de toutes les rues principales, mais particulièrement cette rue-ci, la rue Rideau, qui est la rue avec le plus d'importance. On a débuté l'année avec une approbation du conseil pour le plan des espaces publics. Pour vous donner une petite mise à jour là-dessus, la Ville d'Ottawa a un plan de tout près de 200 millions de revitaliser les espaces publics. Évidemment, on est en conversation, évidemment, avant les élections, mais à travers les élections avec Mona, avec la Commission de la Capitale-Nationale, avec la Ville, avec la ministre McLeod. Je pense que tous les partenaires voient l'importance. Puis on a une date fixe, hein, 2027, qui est le 200e du marché bail. Il y a une opportunité vraiment unique de reconfigurer les espaces publics. Mais la bonne chose pour nous, c'est qu'on a un plan qui a obtenu par unanimité l'approbation. Désolé. J'ai parlé beaucoup aujourd'hui. Je suis désolé à nouveau. Donc, un plan qui a obtenu l'approbation à l'unanimité du conseil. Je veux, I want to use the opportunity of an AGM really to set a couple of elements. One, a recognition that we are living three levels of a crisis, a housing crisis, an opioid crisis, and the pandemic. And there's no other area in our city that has been more impacted by those three elements than Rideau, Northern Sandy Hill, Lower Town, and Byward Market. I propose a plan with three simple initiatives that give us very short-term tangible actions with longer-term efforts. The first one is, I hear from businesses, I hear from residents, this fatigue of reporting and how there are major gaps in outreach services by the city. And I want you to know that at the leadership table that we've created, and Norman and others in the community are at that table, we speak loud and clear in saying how we need to have coordinated city-led outreach 24/7, 365 days a year to remove that pressure from our community. And hopefully I'll be in a position, although very late, we made that very clear early on in the year, and here we are in the later part of the year, but I'm hopeful that we can see the beginning of a pilot of outreach services led by the city in November, but stay tuned on that. The other one is safe supply. And there's a lot of discussions happening on safe supply. If you're not knowledgeable on safe supply, it is not supervised injection service. That's where I would start it. Safe supply is like you and I. We go into a pharmacy with a prescription and we get clean, official drugs, and we're under the supervision of a medical professional. So I'm working closely with Mona. We're working closely with Health Canada, working closely with Ottawa Public Health to make sure that we continue to increase the safe supply offering in our community. And through that, that the areas of accessing the services are multiple pharmacies across the city and not just, again, concentrated in one area. And I'm hearing a lot of opportunities there with mobile access, access within the shelter system. And then once residents are housed in their area of residence. So that's refreshing. And I hope public health could come and present to the LC on that front. And then the third one, third pillar. So the first pillar is outreach. Second pillar is safe supply. And the third pillar is focused housing investments. Too long, we've seen investments left and right in housing. And, you know, I'm guilty of it. All elected officials are guilty of it. We show up and say, this is great. But really, for this specific effort, we have 2,500 people every night that sleeps in motels and shelters. We can have a targeted approach to really move the yardstick on this, not just, you know, not just 50 beds, but 50 beds at a time with 5, 10, 15 projects and really make a difference in our community. So that's a plan. when I sit down with residents, that they be from a wide range of perspective and spectrum, I've not heard any opposition to this effort. And I hope that as a community, we can get behind that, because we often get caught in the specifics and rhetorics and challenges and so on. And I really hope that as we end the year, we can really work together on defining three strategies that we can all work behind, get all levels of government to push towards, and residents and businesses alike. And I feel that what I'm putting forward, if I'm challenged, I'm glad to have a conversation, but I really hope that we can move with targeted investments. I'll speed up a bit because I know there are a few slides. I'll go to the OP, the official plan. Sorry, I'm missing that slide. I apologize. My eyes aren't good, Bailey. A couple of transportation projects that have happened in our area. We have new bike lane infrastructure that's come down around St. Patrick. We've had the resurfacing on St. Patrick. We've had the lower town connection through Butler and Union roundabout. We'll continue to do that. We've had small sections of patches along King Edward. So we'll continue to monitor the infrastructure. I think the next big resurfacing project is likely on St. Patrick, east of King Edward to the St. Patrick Bridge. The St. Patrick Bridge is in very poor condition and is likely to be in the next 2 years, major infrastructure along that stretch. So just FYI. And if you were heading into the city's budget, we do have our budget session tomorrow evening. I'll ask Bailey to put it on in the chat. So if you're interested in joining us tomorrow evening, feel free. Resurfacing is always one of the key topics. It's investing in our existing infrastructure and maintaining it. Le plan officiel a été au comité aujourd'hui après la troisième journée de délibération. J'avais 9 motions, donc je vais pas ajouter de la lourdeur à notre conversation avec ça, mais tout simplement pour vous dire que la demande de l'association communautaire d'avoir un plan secondaire pour le marché et puis la base ville a été approuvée. Je suis heureux de voir ça. Et puis, les grandes discussions au niveau du transport se poursuivent. Donc, on a the City's Transportation Master Plan, le plan directeur du transport qui va débuter plus tard cette année. Puis ce sera important pour les résidents de la base ville de recréer un petit peu un momentum là, pour l'effort d'enlever les camions du centre-ville. Donc, je vous encourage fortement à s'organiser autour de ça. Et puis, comme dernière mise à jour, as a last update, I want to thank Sandra. I want to thank the Parks Group. I want to thank residents in Lower Town for engaging with me through the city's Parks and Recreation Master Plan. As the city's growing, the city needs to invest in growing pools, arenas, rectangular fields, and gymnasiums. And what we've been able to shape is really identifying communities of needs. We are the oldest community. We're the community with the lowest income in the city. And we have the oldest city infrastructure. So how can we see investments at the Routier? How can we see investments at Champagne Bath, for example? I know those are key to Lower Town residents. And we've been able to pass motions, 4 motions. It's on my website. We'll share that with you in terms of those improvements. So a lot happening in Lower Town. I also want to give a kudos to the arts group who really has built a momentum around the mural and some of the public art pieces. It's really exciting to work with you. So can't wait to be back on the ground with all of you working. In the meantime, we have continued to be available remotely. For those of you who have not followed the LCA continuously, I did have a change of community liaison team member. Although Erin remains in the team, she's really focused on housing and homelessness efforts and continuing a master's. And Bailey has joined our team over the summer. Bailey, if you wouldn't mind putting your email in the chat as well, just so that everyone has it. She's been, as a key person, just if you want to know what's going on in the office, what's going on in the area, she's always a key contact. And obviously to reach me, also a good point. So Norman, I'll stop there. I don't know if there are any questions for me. Si vous aviez des questions. Pour moi, je suis certainement disponible.
Il y a toujours des questions pour toi, Mathieu, mais comme j'ai fait avec les autres, je vais dire que tout ce qui a été inscrit dans le chat, on va poursuivre et on va continuer à trouver des occasions. We'll find other times when we can follow up directly on the questions, but you can also get back to us as you see the questions show up in our in our chat. There is support for your three initiatives, and I'm sure we're looking forward to working with you on them. Maintenant, nous sommes arrivés au point où on tourne dans notre réunion formelle. We're now going into our formal business meeting. We're lucky to have back with us this year Archie Campbell, who has chaired these portions of our meeting for many years past, who knows us well. So Archie, thank you very much for accepting to come in. We do this because we are moving through the formal business, and it's good to have someone help us follow all of the appropriate procedures for the meeting. Alors, Archie, merci beaucoup. Thanks very much. I'll turn it over to you, and you'll take us through agenda items 3A, B, C, E, and F. We left out D. Anyway, I never did like D very much. It's over to you, Archie.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Norman. It's a great honor to be invited back. And I made a special effort to wear the Lowertown t-shirt you folks gave me a few AGMs ago, and I wear it proudly. And I hope this relationship continues. So I guess our first item of business is the approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve? To adopt, I guess. So we want to raise
their hand. I'm not sure how we're going to do that here. Does somebody put their hand up, or how do we do it?
Liz McKenzie. And a seconder. John Chenier. Great. Okay. All in favor? I can't see everybody, so I'll just wait a sec. If anybody is opposed, I'll just wait for them to say so, but it looks like it's a unanimous vote. Okay, so our agenda is approved, and our next item of business is the approval of the minutes. So I'm assuming everybody has a copy, and I will ask for a motion to adopt. Someone raise their hand, or John Chenier moves adoption of the minutes. Is there a seconder? Sandra Milton. Any discussion? All those in favor, just raise your hands. I can't see all of you, so if anybody is opposed, please say so, otherwise I'll assume it's a unanimous vote. Okay, minutes have been adopted. Okay, moving on. President's report. Norman, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Archie. Just in case anybody was wondering, behind Archie is, he tells me it's Mount Vesuvius, but it looks like Lowertown on a good day. I may take a few minutes longer than I have before because it is the last time I'll talk to you as your president. And it's been a fascinating time for me. And I want to give you some of my ideas, not just on the last year, but on the evolution of Lowertown. Je crois que c'était Mathieu qui a souligné le point que notre communauté a été particulièrement touchée par certaines des crises, dont la pandémie. It really has been a challenging year in our community, but it's not just a challenging year. There are challenges that we face that are going to require time to fix. And I think some things have begun to help do that. But there's a lot more to do. A year ago, I made my first report to you as president of the LCA. We were still in the first year of COVID, and it was already clear that the pandemic would have an especially large impact on our community. I noted at that time that members of the community and the governments supporting us were working well together to deal with the health crisis. I was hopeful that a new vision developed by the Lower Town community for our community would provide a useful part of the plans for dealing with the pandemic and for managing the eventual return to normal. At the end of this year, I've seen many encouraging things, but I've also seen some things that discouraged me, and I want to talk about both of them tonight. There were some real successes for Lower Town and for your community association in the last year. We really have thrived in the era of Zoom. We have a much larger group of people who follow us. That's really important for the community. It means that we have a better way of getting our information out to members of the community. And we've also used those meetings to get more people involved and to broaden the scope of our activities. Speaking of which, we launched two new areas of involvement this year, our arts and culture section, and a new focus on the many parks that we have in our neighborhood. I'll talk about both of those a little bit later. We have also supported efforts to expand affordable housing across the city through a series of networks. We have been leaders in creating and supporting the Coalition to Save the Alexandra Bridge. We continue to benefit from and to support our dynamic community newspaper, The Echo. We managed to get a heritage designation for the old Porter Island Bridge, and hopefully it can be brought back to the point that we can all enjoy it. We even managed to save a few mature trees that might have been cut down by a mistaken sense that they had to keep the road for cars as wide as it needed to be so that we could put in a cycle lane. We found a way to have cycling, cars, and trees. That's the kind of solution we like. Let me take a brief look at what our working committees were doing. That's where the real action happens very often in the LCA. The planning committee, chaired this year by Warren Waters, we followed closely the development of the new official plan. We welcome the decision to have a special focus on the urban core. Too often, Lower Town and other downtown communities have suffered from a one-size-fits-all approach that had been present in the current plan. But we regret the fact that the new official plan seems to endorse the idea that a large part of our community should be designated as an entertainment district with little or no thought of how residents or other small commercial operations will fit into that model. We view the commitments to affordable housing in the new plan to be so weak that no progress is likely to be made in reducing the number of homeless persons on our streets. We note that the new official plan offers no roadmap for the removal of interprovincial trucking from our community. To counter these weaknesses, we have asked the city to move quickly to develop a secondary development plan for our community with a clear opportunity for residents, businesses, and institutions to influence the plan. That was the motion that Councillor Fleury presented today, and he just informed us has been passed. So we got a great chance to roll up our sleeves and to make sure that people understand there is a viable alternative vision for this community looking ahead. Our planning committee has also been actively involved in the growing number of specific development approvals that are being sought. Oftentimes, developers are seeking exemptions from the current bylaw limits. In our Vision 2035, we endorsed infill and expansion of residential buildings to accommodate a large increase in the Lower Town population for individuals and families through mid-rise development. Instead, most of the developments seem to be proposed in high-rise buildings aimed almost exclusively at singles or visitors. For a full list of the current development projects, see the report of the Planning Committee on our website. Thank you, Warren, for your leadership on this file. The Community Safety Committee. this year, as last, has seen a twofold impact on crime in our community. The greatly reduced flow of people to Lower Town, largely because of the pandemic, has been accompanied by a fall in crimes against the person. But the increasingly desperate situation of the homeless population has meant that crimes against property have risen significantly. The work of our safety committee has focused on finding better ways to respond to the unpredictable, aggressive, and sometimes violent behaviors that we see on our streets. The capacity of the city to respond to the crisis has often been inadequate. Calls to 311 have gone unanswered. Social services at times have been uncoordinated. And while the police have always been available, they cannot handle all the problems. And in fact, lots of the problems are not really police problems. As a result of the effort of our Community Safety Committee, we have been able to work with Ottawa Outreach and the Ottawa Police Service's neighborhood resource teams to begin to effectively coordinate a response to these emergency calls. Thank you, Sandra Milton, for your leadership on this file. The Friends of Lower Town Parks. Because Sandra didn't have enough to do on community safety, she has taken the lead on developing a new group for us this year, focusing on the parks that we have and how we can make better use of them. The Friends of Lower Town Park initiated this year are dedicated to promoting the health of our parks and facilities and to support the City of Ottawa to keep parks accessible. This has included initiatives in the Bingham Park revitalization, the Bordeleau Park pop-up history boards, the McDonald Gardens Heritage Conservation Plan, Jules Morin rink improvements, Rose Park revitalization, promoting the Champagne Baths Fitness Center, and looking forward to the reopening of the Routier Center. The Friends of the Parks advocate for improvements in city's parks in general, and the recreational master plan, the continued adoption of parks and cleaning the capital, control of the gypsy moth caterpillars, and ongoing support for the Needle Hunter program, which in our community is really essential. Thanks again, Sandra. The Heritage Committee. Our Heritage Committee has continued its successful involvement in the protection of the built heritage of Lower Town. The groundwork has been laid for the review and renewal of the existing protections in Lower Town, and a significant public consultation on the heritage districts in Lower Town will take place in the next year. York Street School is looking to be designated by its 100th anniversary, which comes next year. There continue to be many pressures from developers on our heritage districts. Often the building style or height sought within heritage districts or just on their boundaries can destroy the fabric of this district. There are ways to accommodate development that enhance heritage, but this is rarely the approach that we see. Thank you, Nancy Miller-Chenier and Liz McKenzie for leading on this file. Housing and homelessness. The main efforts of the Housing and Homelessness Committee this year has been to lead and support the efforts of the city and other levels of government to expand the creation of much more affordable housing. The city is far too dependent on shelters and transitional housing and very undersupplied in supportive housing, subsidized housing, and low-cost commercial housing. The existing shelter services are far too concentrated in and around our community. We have been active advocates for increased affordable housing across the city, working with the Alliance to End Homelessness, the Vanier Community Association, and other downtown communities to advocate for more spending on new affordable housing units, inclusionary zoning, a vacancy tax, and more accountability in the 10-year housing plan. Thank you, Lauren Infant, for your leadership on this file. We had a new committee this year on arts and culture. In its first year, our arts and culture committee got a real boost when Ottawa Markets provided a $10,000 grant to the association to help build community support for the markets. The Arts and Culture Committee was able to work with residents and in partnership with a community arts organization to enliven a part of the market area with an exciting new mural. Residents not only had a chance to contribute ideas for the mural, but also to participate in painting the mural. It was a great way to underline that Lower Town is a community where arts and culture play a very important role. The Arts and Culture Committee has begun to network with the many active players in arts and culture in Lower Town and will expand these connections in the next year. Now, and my fingers are crossed, that more arts venues can function at full capacity, we can really show off our talent and determination. Thank you, Kendra Hughes and Fiona Sant, for your work in leading this new activity. The Transportation Committee. This year, the Transportation Committee continued to advocate for short and long-term measures to reduce the damage caused by the truck route and commuter arterial through our community. There has been very little progress on the King Edward file. The city has ignored it in the new official plan. Talk of a sixth crossing seems to be lost in confusion and obfuscation. Maybe what we should do is just accept the status quo, erect some bleachers on Rideau between Waller and King Edward, and charge visitors for the privilege of watching 18-wheelers navigate through and around the pedestrians and cyclists. It could be a real tourist draw for Ottawa. Watch the 18-wheelers. A new concern emerged for the Transportation Committee this year when the federal government confirmed its intention to destroy the Alexandra Bridge and replace it with a new structure to service the same traffic needs. The LCA has taken a lead role in creating and supporting the coalition to preserve the present Alexandra Bridge. We believe that the present structure has many years of useful life ahead of it as an active transportation and perhaps a tramway loop. The federal government says it has engineering studies which prove that the bridge must be destroyed, but they have not shown us the studies or the terms of reference that were given to the engineers. We shall continue to oppose this expensive and environmentally destructive project and to promote the vision of the Alexandra Bridge as a symbol of how Canadian engineering expertise can be renewed and adapted to the needs of a greener economy. Thank you very much, Boris and Jordan, for your leadership on this file. Environment and active transportation. The LCA has remained a very active player, the lead player, I think, in CAFE, the network of community groups working to defend the environment across the city of Ottawa. Through CAFE, we made extensive comments on the new official plan. We took stands on specific urban issues, such as the ill-considered decision of council to expand the urban boundary. We also engaged in local issues, trying to ensure that proposed spending on the public realm in the Byward Market will make provision for lots of new trees. Here are a few of our actions this year. We urged the Environment Committee for tree protection during the gypsy moth infestation. We supported passage of the Energy Evolution Strategy. Our Environment Committee supported the Alexandra Bridge Coalition and its efforts. That committee also supported a motion urging Ontario to develop and implement a plan for a gas phase out by 2030, which was passed by council last week. And we've been actively working with the People's Official Plan Group on making comments on the environmental elements of the new official plan. Thank you very much, Ms. Bernstein, for your leadership on that file. Now let me give you some of my sense of the overview. In spite of the achievements that we have seen in many areas, last year was discouraging overall for Lower Town, or at least for me. I talked about the vision that we had prepared as a community association. We presented that vision to this AGM a year ago. It was built by the citizens of Lower Town, and it was well balanced to meet the needs of the community and the city. It called for a large increase in residential accommodation with a special focus on housing suitable for young families. The vision contained a commitment to an expanding commercial sector based on a diversity of activities. And the vision had concrete ideas for attacking the causes of crime and insecurity in Lower Town. There is no sign that the city staff have even looked at this vision and certainly have not absorbed it in their thinking. We'll take another crack at it when the new debate on the secondary development plan occurs. I strongly hope that the councillor will make sure that reading the Lower Town Vision 2035 is an essential task for all of the city staff who are going to be involved in our new secondary development plan. Let me give you three specific examples of the sort of frustration that we felt as a community this year. The emergency shelter created at Le Patro. The decision to house an emergency COVID treatment center for the homeless in the middle of a vulnerable residential area without any consultation frustrated all of us. From the outset of the pandemic, the homeless shelters had been identified as potential areas where the virus could spread. An initial site to treat and isolate COVID patients in the Routier Center was effective and supported in the community. It was understood that the Routier Center would not be large enough to handle a major outbreak, but none of the authorities involved in preparing emergency plans ever consulted Lower Town residents about the options being considered for a larger center. The residents around 40 Coburg, home of Le Patro, site of a pool, home to children's activities, adjacent to a major active park, and near two schools, never expected that this site would be chosen for an emergency shelter, and people were understandably angry when it was announced. There should have been consultation prior to this decision. There might have been better solutions. There might have also been more active listening after the decision announced. Other sites might have been identified, and certainly ways to mitigate the impacts could have been found. It's this kind of cavalier treatment of communities that undermines trust. Second area, the public realm plan. In some ways, it's a great success. The LCA citizens here have been pushing for a needed investment plan in the streets and sidewalks and byward for a long time. The infrastructure has been run down and neglected for years. The Lower Town Community Association has supported this plan from the beginning, but has always argued that the new investments have to be based on a vision and a plan for Byward Market that are consistent with the mixed commercial, residential, and events-based activities stated in the then existing official plan. Instead, without meaningful consultation on the kind of neighborhood that would be best for business, visitors, residents, and the city, the public realm plan was developed around the contested vision of Byward as an entertainment district. Residents have opposed this vision, and it's not at all clear that it would be the kind of offering that tourists want or that businesses need to prosper. The last best chance for getting this right is the development of the secondary development plan. Let's all get our shoulders to the wheel and see if we can move that. Third, the development of supportive housing by the Shepherds of Good Hope at 216 Murray. This issue has divided the Lower Town Community Association and the community. Your association believes that the city needs more supportive housing for people who are now in shelters. These are the most vulnerable members of our society, and the shelter environment is very destructive for them. Building supportive housing right beside a shelter will mean that residents of the new supportive housing units will be exposed every day to the threats and temptations of the shelter community they are trying to leave. The people at Shepherds of Good Hope argue that they can manage this conflict and that residents are supportive, and that residents in the supportive housing will be much better off than where they are now in shelters. Members of the LCA have been sympathetic to both of these views. If the city would do the right thing and help Shepherds of Good Hope find a suitable site for its supportive housing that is not next to existing shelters, and there's a very successful example on St. Andrew Street that works very well within our community, the LCA would back it. In the end, the LCA did not take a position on this file, to the frustration of lots of the community. But we fully understand the frustration that has led many residents to oppose the project. And this is my last annual general meeting as president. I'm coming to the end of my term. Coincides with being at the age when Supreme Court justices have to retire. So I figured it was a good point to step back. I certainly intend to continue to be a member of the association, I hope in good standing. I end my mandate proud of the dynamism and generosity of this community. I share the pleasure of living here, and I believe that the problems faced here can be solved with goodwill, determination, openness, and care. Ottawa, as a whole, will be a better place to live and visit if Lower Town is healthy. For me, that means a good mix of residents, different kinds of businesses, a healthy farmers market drawing on the amazing agricultural resources of our city and region, a flourishing restaurant and culinary culture. I have every confidence that the executive that you will elect today can help more Lower Town move in this direction. Let me end tonight by thanking so many of the stakeholders that have helped. Thank first the members of the community for your interest and support. I didn't know how the pandemic would turn out. I have been delightfully impressed by the continued interest and involvement of the people in our community. I want to thank our elected representatives for their leadership through this these pandemic years. I know it has not been easy for any government to navigate, and hopefully we're beginning to see the signs of success of the efforts at all those levels. And finally, I want to thank the members of the Lower Town Community Executive Team who have put in countless hours of very unpaid work because they care about our community and our city. There are four members of our board beyond me who will be stepping away this year, but I know they will also remain actively involved in our community. A special thanks to Lauren Infant, to Catherine, to Boris, and to Jordan, who have all helped us keep on track through this year. And I know will be watching us, even though they are not putting their names forward for the executive in the coming year. Merci à tout le monde. Merci pour la chance d'être impliqué. Et on va continuer de pousser pour une meilleure communauté.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you like to move your report?
Yes, I move my report.
Is there a seconder? Sandra Milton? Any questions? I will. Any hands that are raised? Liz, did you want to say something? Anyone? Any other comments? Well, seeing now, I'll call a question. All those in favor of the of acceptance of the report, just raise your hand. I'll I think. Well, yeah. If on these sort of motions, if I'll assume concurrence unless I hear a negative voice. Okay, I declare the report adopted, and I will now move on to the treasurer's report.
Good evening.
My name is Lloyd Morrison. I'm the LCA's treasurer. I'd like to just give a quick finance review of our 2020. The 2020 financial statements were approved by the association's executive at our October 12th, 2021 executive meeting. These statements reflect our four primary activities, which are operating the Bingham Park Rink, the publication of the Echo newspaper, our support of community events, and our operations. So our administrative operations. For the Bingham Park Community Rink, we receive a $5,325 operating grant from the city, and our expenses are paid rink attendants who supervise the rink during operating hours. Now, the salaries of these paid attendants declined last year due to decreased operating hours. So the net income from the operations increased to $3,854. And we, for 2021, we are anticipating that the income from rink operations will be similar or maybe a little better than it was last year. Once again, due to declining operating hours because of the lockdown this past season, along with a warmer 2021 winter. Of course, the association is always looking for volunteers to supervise and assist operating this valuable winter community asset. The next activity is the publication of the Echo newspaper. The Echo had published five issues last year. The average revenue per issue from advertisers was down to $3,515 compared to $3,700 in 2019. And this, we were starting to see decreased business activity because of pandemic-related shutdowns and restrictions, which put a squeeze on advertising, understandably advertising budgets. The average cost per issue was $3,698. Which actually declined compared to 2019. Our production costs include printing and distribution, along with Adobe design software for laying out the newspaper. So overall, the Echo incurred a deficit of $916 in 2020, which actually was a decline from our 2019 numbers. But on the happy side, though, we actually had a net income of $1,085 because the Echo qualified for a $2,000 federal grant for community newspapers. Now, in 2021, given that we're already 10 months in, we are looking at, again, another operating deficit as advertising revenues continue to decline during the economic slowdown. So we are, once again, you know, the Echo, like the community rink, is always looking for volunteers whether it's in whether they people want to help with the layout of the newspaper, writing articles, distribution, collections, sales, etc. Now, on the event side, we had a rather light roster of events in 2020, once again, because of the lockdown. We still were able to manage to hold the annual Bingham Cup hockey game at the Bingham Park rink between the staff at the U.S. Embassy and the Parliamentary Press Gallery. And we also contributed $500 to the Lower Town Winterfest at Jules Morin Park. Now, in looking forward in 2021, we have received an arts grant for the mural project. We also received a Canada Summer Job Grant for our Lower Town History Pin project. Now, and finally, when it comes to administration, our administration costs declined last year. And part of the reason was we weren't conducting in-person meetings. So hence like costs of rentals and food certainly, were not required. Our administrative costs, so composed of our post office box rental, the hosting our LCA website, and we had a one-time subscription to SurveyMonkey to support the aforementioned Lower Town Vision 2035 project. So we also had a small bad debt of $71, which was recognized in 2020 just to restructure the invoice for one of our ECRO advertisers going through pandemic-related financial challenges. It looks like our 2021 administrative costs will be in a similar range as the 2020 costs. The major changes are that we have picked up a Zoom pro Zoom license, so we can have meetings like this without a 40-minute time limit, and our insurance, our commercial general liability insurance for the community association, also went up a small amount. So in conclusion, I'll actually quickly share the operating. Our income statement. So basically, the bottom line is we actually had a surplus of $2,700, about $2,787 of excess of actual revenue over expenses, and once again, that was mainly attributable to the $2,000 community grant and our decreased wages for our operating of the community rink. Now, in as far as cash flow, our cash flow did decline just because we had an increased amount of receivables from the last, from advertisers, from the last ECHO issue, which was published in November. So hence a lot of the advertisers, they didn't get their invoice until late November. So they would be paying in 2021. And that, so that's how, you know, even though our receivables increased, but our cash declined because we didn't have that cash in hand until 2021, which we are collecting now. So basically, we have to, as a community association, we can't really rely totally on the art rink grant, as we anticipate hopefully more hours will be have to be paid for supervision, which is a good thing, which means the rink will be available for more hours. And we, you know, there is continuing challenge. The Echo is going to still, and we're going to have to continue to support the Echo as local businesses' advertising budgets continue to be squeezed due to the pandemic. But hopefully, once again, that we are in a recovery phase and we will stay that way. So hence, the association will have to continue to see if we can find a few new revenue sources, which we are having an auction now as an example, and of course, be prudent with our own expenses. And so that concludes my report. And once again, I want to thank the members of the executive for their support in my first year, and also to François Giroux, the outgoing treasurer, who provided me a lot of information and support in my transition to becoming the treasurer for 2020. That's the end of my report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Lloyd. Could somebody just take the sharing element away, please, so I can see everybody?
Oh, that's me.
thank you, Lloyd. So I take it you're moving your report?
Yes.
Is there a seconder? Normand, are you seconding the report, the adoption of this report or acceptance? Any questions? Okay, I don't see anyone's hand raised, so I'll call for the vote. All those in favor? Are there any opposed? Hearing no opposition, I declare the treasurer's report accepted. Okay, now we move into elections. So I hope everybody's... I'm sorry. Norman, did you have a question or comment?
Archie, just as we move into the election, we've made a couple of differences, changes in the actual officers we'll be electing. I might just let people know what it is that we've done, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
As Archie begins to take us into the elections, you will note that this year we have the really exciting possibility ahead of us of having two people act as co-presidents of the association. After consultation with those people and other members of the executive, we thought that it would be healthy and a strong approach to take. So you will be asked to vote for two people as co-president. And my understanding is that they will be truly co-presidents. They will both take responsibility and divide up tasks as the year goes on. I also should note that there are three areas where we do not have candidates at the moment to take over the activities that departing executive members are leaving behind: housing, transportation, and communications and outreach are areas where we are still looking. Possibly there will be nominations from the floor tonight, but if they are not, please think about your capacity to help the city, the community, and your association by volunteering to do a little bit of leading in one of those areas. Over to you, Archie.
Thanks, Norman. Okay, any other comments before we officially begin our election process? All righty, so I have the list here. I think most people have a list as well, but I will start from the top of the page and begin with the co-president positions. So I think we'll do this office in one go. So we have Liz Bernstein and Sylvie Bigras, who have offered as co-presidents. Norman, should I ask people if they accept the nomination, or should we just assume they have and proceed from there?
They have accepted the nomination, Archie.
Okay, well, as is traditional in most AGMs I've ever attended, there's a call for nominations, for further nominations, three times. So, first call, are there any other nominations for co-presidents? Second call, are there any nominations for co-president? I see someone wants to make a motion to close. I'm going to just disallow that if I may, because I do think it's an important ceremony to make sure people are comfortable with the choices they make and give people a chance to change their minds or perhaps jump in. So I will continue with the three calls for each office. So for the third time, are there any further nominations for co-president? Okay, hearing and seeing none, I declare Liz Bernstein and Sylvie Migras elected as your co-presidents for the next year. The next position is secretary. I have a nomination of Avery Burns. Are there any other nominations for secretary? Norma, I assume that your head is a legacy head.
I better take it down there. Yeah.
You don't want to jump into the mix of right of stepping down.
Thank you very much.
Okay, are there any second call for nominations? Anybody else interested in running for secretary? Okay, third and final time, any call for nominations for secretary? Okay, seeing none, I declare Avery Burns elected secretary. The next nominee is for treasurer, Lloyd Morrison. Are there any other nominations for treasurer? Liz, did you have a, okay. Second call for nominations for treasurer. Third call for nominations for treasurer. Seeing none, I declare Lloyd Morrison your treasurer. The next position is planning. I have a nominee, Warren Waters. Are there any other nominations for, this is what, planning committee chair, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Any other nominations for planning committee chair? Second call for nominations for planning committee chair. Third call for nominations for planning committee chair. Seeing none, I declare Warren Waters the chair of planning committee for the next year. The next position, I guess this is another joint position, Norman?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so we have two people who will co-chair the Community Security Committee, Sandra Milton and Julie Lantin. Are there any further nominations? Second call for nominations. Third call for nominations. Seeing and hearing none, I declare Sandra Milton and Julie Lantien, your co-chairs for the Community Security Committee. Okay, now we have a Housing Committee, which is one of the three vacancies that Norman spoke of earlier. So I'm gonna ask three times a little more slowly. Are there any nominees for Housing Committee Chair? First call. Second call, any nominees for Housing Committee Chair?
We really need someone. We have to execute on those 3 points. We really need someone.
Third and final call, anybody willing to offer for chair of our Housing Community or Committee? Well, I'm afraid there are no names I see coming forward, so we will have to continue that position as a vacant one. The next position is Arts and Culture Committee, and I see two people are offering to co-chair, Kendra Hughes and Fiona Sett. Are there any other nominees for Arts and Culture? Second call for nominees for Culture. Sorry, was somebody nominating somebody? Oops, okay. Third call for nominations for the Arts and Culture Committee. Seeing and hearing nobody, I will declare Kendra Hughes and Fiona Sett as your co-chairs of the Arts and Culture Committee. We come up to another vacant committee chair, transportation. So with a little more slowly, are there any nominations? Lloyd? No. Are there any nominations for chair of transportation committee? Second call for nominations for the chair of the transportation committee. Norman, there's a chat request that you outline what the position entails, what's involved with being the chair of a transportation committee.
Happily, I'll outline that. There are a series of files that touch this community related to transportation. At times, the creation of the Lower Town Community Association has been driven by those transportation issues. Always at the top of the list is following the evolution of the truck route along King Edward. And people will have to get involved if they got in the committee and understand the history of that. But it also deals with issues like parking on street. We had, until the pandemic struck, in the northern areas of the community, a lot of concern about all day long parking by people working at the Global Affairs office. For a while, the pandemic has more or less dealt with that, but that problem could come back. And the people in charge of the transportation committee would follow that. There are questions of speed limits, where we have stop signs, a variety of issues. And then, of course, there's always the opportunity to suggest things that have not arisen. I should say that the Alexandra Bridge will remain a preoccupation, but although Jordan has not been able to come forward on the executive this year, Jordan is going to continue to be a liaison on the Alexandra Bridge file. So I am sure that when we do get a new chair for the Transportation Committee, Jordan would be happy to work with that person on the Alexandra Bridge file. Anybody want to add anything else?
Well, if I could just ask a supplementary question, if I'm allowed to. What sort of commitment is involved? How many times does this group meet?
People will generally, and here, you know, how high is high? I think that you can honestly do this job with a couple of hours throughout the month, and then another couple of hours preparing for the meetings that we have. Obviously, it fluctuates. Obviously, there are times when there is more work than that required. But there's a fair amount of flexibility for the person that is the chair of the committee as well.
Okay, thanks, Norman. So I believe I've asked once for nominations, so I'll ask for a second time. Is anybody now interested in running for chair of transportation? Okay, third and final call. Anybody interested to step forward and be nominated for the chair of the transportation committee? Okay, seeing no nominations, we will move on to the next position, which is Heritage. And we have again a co-chair situation. We have two people offering to take over the duties as chair of this committee, Nancy Miller-Chenier and Andrew Waldron. Are there any further nominations to chair the Heritage Committee? Second call for nominations to chair the Heritage Committee. Third call for nominations to chair the Heritage Committee. Seeing and hearing no further nominees, I declare Nancy Miller-Chenier and Andrew Waldron as your Heritage Committee co-chairs. The next committee is Environment and Active Transport. And I have one nominee, Liz Bernstein. Is that the same Liz Bernstein who is your co-president?
It is.
Okay. My congratulations for taking on two big roles, Liz. Are there any other nominations for this committee chair? Second call for nominations for transportation. Transportation and active transport. Third call for nominations for transportation and active transport.
See, oh, that's called environment and active transport.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Anyway. Seeing and hearing no nominees, no further nominees, I declare Liz Bernstein as the chair of this committee. Congratulations, Liz. The next position is Friends of Lowertown Parks. I have a nominee, Sandra Milton. Are there any further nominees for the chair of the Friends of Lowertown Parks committee? Second call for nominations, chair of Lowertown Parks Committee. Third call for nominations, Friends of Lowertown Parks. Seeing and hearing no nominations, I declare Sandra Milton elected as chair of the Friends of Lowertown Parks Committee. And finally, pretty important committee, communications and outreach. It's what I do in my community association, actually. So I'm aware of all the challenges, but all the importance of such a position. There is nobody offering. Is there anybody wish to run for this position?
Archie, let me outline a little bit what it means in our association. And also, I did notice earlier on that Jay Shea had indicated that he might be interested. So when I stop talking, maybe Jay could tell us why he might be interested in this position. Obviously, our association needs to connect to as many people in the community and the broader areas in Ottawa. We use our social media presence rather sporadically. We would hope that someone coming into this position would bring ideas and a little bit of willingness to roll up his or her sleeves and improve our presence on social media, making sure the postings are generally updated. When we talk about outreach, it's really strategies for expanding the number of people that are coming to meetings, following up on people that show an initial interest, but may need a little bit of help in figuring out how to get involved. This committee chair works closely with the other committee chairs and with the presidents, or now the co-presidents, on those activities. We do have the advantage of having a very healthy community newspaper, and this director will have to work very closely with the people that are putting together the Echo five times a year. So I think that's all I would say by way of background. And Jay says he's happy to continue to self-nominate. Jay, can you take over the mic and tell us a little bit about your interest?
Happy to, Norman. Thanks for the opportunity to present at the AGM. And if there are others who are willing to participate as well or want to serve as a co-chair, I'm happy to share the responsibilities. But in short, I'm a resident of the Wedge, or I guess Lower Town East, and have been in the community for a number of years now. My background is in communications. I'm a public servant who works as a director of communications in one of the federal departments. And so I live and breathe social media every day on a number of platforms, and be very happy to help out the other directors and chairs of committees amplify their the content that they need distributed to the community, as well as work very closely with the Echo. In a past life, I used to write a column for another community newspaper, and so I'm familiar with the the messiness of community newspapers and the uniqueness and frankly the fun that comes with it. So those are all things that I'm familiar with. So if I'm happy to let my name stand, if there are others who would like to serve as co-chair, I'd be very happy for that as well.
Okay, so we have a nominee for communications outreach, Mr. Jay Shea. Thank you, Jay. Is there anybody willing to take Jay's offer to help chair this committee? Okay, I'll ask two more times. Does anybody wish to stand for chair of this committee? I assume if they do, we would just have a co-chair situation. We wouldn't bother with an election. Third call for nominations for communications and outreach. Well, Jay, I don't see anybody joining you. I hope you're comfortable taking it on individually. And if you are, my congratulations.
Thank you very much, all of you. And thank you, Jay, for putting up your hand unexpectedly. And I've always found that when someone is willing to get the ball rolling, other volunteers will emerge that would be willing to work and serve around you. So I'm sure the new executive will help you to identify people that you can work with and contribute.
Okay, so this concludes our elections for positions of the Lower Town Community Association for 2021. Please join me in congratulating everybody. Now, Norman, I'm not quite sure how to handle the last item. Would you like me to turn the microphone back to you, or can you give me some direction here?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Turn it back to me. Thank you, Archie, for taking us through this. Thank you for your ongoing interest and support for the Lower Town Community Association. It's good to have a friend who can look at us from outside. And I will tell the new executive incoming that you have a wealth of knowledge, not just about our association, but other community associations. And if they want to reach out to you, I'm sure you'll be glad to have a cup of coffee or help in whatever way you can. So merci, Archie, pour ce soir et pour tout votre engagement, pas seulement dans la basse ville, mais dans la ville d'Ottawa et dans votre communauté. Thanks very much.
Well, it's a pleasure. I'm happy to come back anytime.
We're now on item number 4, which is the year ahead. And I am now going to basically turn the microphone over to the two incoming co-presidents who may want to say two or three words. My role in the year ahead will be hopefully to be a helpful member of the association. It was mentioned that we have a silent auction underway that has been advertised. I hope people have been following it and having a chance to bid on items. I don't know whether any of the people that have put this effort together would like to say a word or two now, I'm not quite sure when we're going to announce the winners of the silent auction. So does someone want to help me out?
Yeah. The auction closes on Friday, Norman.
Okay.
So it's ongoing, and we have put up a few more new things today, and we will be putting up more things tomorrow. And so far, we're around $1,500. So,
way to go, everybody, for putting things up, for keeping this organized and keeping it going. I have to admit that I've been relying on others to make it happen, and they've done a really great job. So, Liz Bernstein and Sylvie Biguera, félicitations, mes co-présidents pour l'année à venir. Est-ce que vous avez quelques mots pour sur l'année qui s'en vient, for next year?
We do indeed. I'll just start quickly. Thank you so much. Sorry, I'm having some internet connections this evening, so jumped on and off a couple times, but I will be brief. I know it's been a long evening. I know many of you know me, and some of you know Sylvie, but we'll have the pleasure of getting to know her better. And we are excited. Takes two of us to fill your shoes, Norman. You have done an extraordinary job leading us, and we're so grateful. What we thought would be 1 year became two. We have lots of things ahead, thanks to you and the rest of the board's guidance. I'm just going to ask Sylvie to introduce herself a little bit to you, and then I'll say just a few closing words. We know it's late, so we won't be too long. Sylvie, over to you.
Merci beaucoup, Liz. Ça me fait plaisir de me joindre à vous ce soir et aussi de me joindre à vous maintenant en tant que nouvelle co-présidente. I will be very brief. I'm new to the executive. I've been in Lower Town since 1982. I moved here as a student thinking I would be here for 5 years. 39 years later, I'm still living in the same house. I've raised children here who are now adults, and I adore my community. And so as a almost lifelong resident, it's time for me now to do a bit more. And I'm a contract communications person. I work with the Canadian Olympic Committee. Beijing will be my 17th and I hope last Olympic Games. I've also done work on the corporate, nonprofit and government side. So I have a lot of experience that I hope that I can bring to LCA and help in any way I can. I won't speak to the future because I'm new. I want to learn from Norman's, we will be having coffee and work with you, Liz, in mining your experience and corporate knowledge of LCA for sure. I'm happy to join you and support in any way I can. So I'll just leave it at that. Thank you to Norman. I've known Norman in my previous life, and I've admired your work as a volunteer with LCA, and Liz and I have big shoes to fill. So back over to you, Liz.
Merci bien. Yes, thank you so much, Sylvie. We're really all looking forward to working more closely with you and with the entire board. We want to thank you for your confidence in us and your trust in us. And we do look forward to working together. You heard a lot about the fabulous work of the committees from Norman of the past year. We have a lot of challenges, as he outlined, but also a lot of really excellent expertise and hard work and passion and love for Lower Town to build on and to work together to address our challenges in housing and homelessness and dealing with the opioid crisis and the housing crisis, the pandemic and the recovery, the environmental crisis, the arts and culture work, which is just beginning to thrive, the parks, the important heritage work. We have a community secondary plan, as Norman mentioned, a lot of work to do in the time ahead. We have the Alexandra Bridge to save and Byward Market to really make flourish. We have an official plan and a budget at City Hall coming up. And then not too long after that, we have two elections next year. So we need to make sure we work together to do all we can so that Lower Town thrives. And you know you can count on us to do so. We look forward to working with all of you in the new board, and we really want to thank the outgoing board members. And Jordan and Lauren, you all have contributed so much. And we also want to really thank Liz McKenzie, who gave so much over so many years in heritage, but so many ways, and John Chenier in terms of really the guidance and foresight on the Echo, but also other things, as you've heard, with the the auction tonight, always filled with new ideas. And last but not least, we really want all of you to join us in thanking Norman, who's had so many accomplishments. He outlined some of them, but was quite modest. And when he talked about challenges and some issues where we didn't necessarily have consensus, he was always working to bring us, to listen to all of us, to listen to all points of views and bring us together. And we hope to continue in that tradition and to push our elected representatives for more, needs fulfilled in Lower Town. So we really build the community we want together. So with that, I think I'm going to say thank you all and good night, and that we really appreciate your support and will be calling on all of you to help work together with us for Lower Town. Thank you, Norman, and thank you all of you.
Thank you all for the kind words. I appreciate it. And I know that Lower Town is in good hands.
Good night.
Good night, I guess, is the right word. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir, tout le monde. Bonsoir.